Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the house of God. It's good to see so many of you today. It is very interesting that today on Sunday, this street is busier than ever. For those of you who do not know, I come here almost every day. Weekday is not as busy as for Sunday. I saw some of you walk all the way from the beginning of the enterprise and to walk down here. Well done, Joe. I saw you walking your family. Praise God. And we give glory to Jesus. Amen. So good. Before I start, I just want to share a few things from my heart with you. The first thing is I want to thank you, our English service people. And the Bible says it's more blessed to give than to receive. Very early today, we have the setup team coming to do the setup. We want to thank you, the worship team as well. Please give them a round of applause. We give glory to Jesus. And also, I want to thank you for your sacrifice. I say this sincerely. I know for us as a church, for those who have joined us for some time now, we purchased the building, not just 50 meters down from here. When we moved, we decided to move the English congregation to a university. Some of you have asked me this question. You know, Pastor Kenny, you know, we have come to this church so many years. We have labored, we have invested, we even pay off the building. Why are you chasing us out from our own building and send us to a university whereby we have to pack, we have to set up and pack down every single week? Are you out of your mind, Pastor Kenny? Today, I want to share with you very good news. As we worship here today, because of your investment, because of your sacrifice, we have another congregation worshiping in our Mandarin service. And this year alone, our Mandarin service, we have increased around 40 to 60%. We've grown for around 40 people. Right now, for the last 3 months, consistently, we hit 60 to 80 adults. Let's give glory to Jesus. And for that, I want to thank you. The Bible says it's more blessed to give than to receive. Amen. And I believe the blessing of God is going to be here in this house, in the English congregation as well. And the reason why we move, why, is because we believe God has asked us to grow, to extend our tent. I believe with all my heart, with the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, as we preach His word and proclaim His word faithfully, without fear nor favor, as we lift up the name of Jesus up high, He will draw all men near to you. Amen. We believe that more people will be saved this year alone. We are counting. We have at least 25 people saved this year alone. Let's give glory to Jesus. Amen. Across the board. So I want to encourage all of us. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Do not be fearful, but be strong and courageous. Amen. Hallelujah. God is good. So thank you so much for your sacrifices, and thank you so much. We will remember. I lead both the English service and the Mandarin service. So on behalf of the Mandarin congregation, I thank you. I thank you for your hard work. Now, today we continue our sermon on courageous faith. In 1 Samuel 20, I want to talk about friendship. Everyone say friendship. Friendship. The fact that there is a difference, I call it genuine friendship, meaning to say there is genuine friendship, there is also counterfeit friendship. There is true friends and there are also fake friends. They are friends, they are around during good times, but during bad times, you look around, where are the party goers? The truth is, it's actually very rare to find genuine friends. It's very rare to find genuine close friends. Today, as we expound on the Word of God in 1 Samuel chapter 20, this is a biblical narrative of friendship. No other places in the Bible talk so much about friendship than 1 Samuel 18 and 1 Samuel 20. So today we are so blessed that we can get to see from the Word of God, what does it mean to have a genuine friend? What are the three qualities of genuine friendship? And today we're going to talk about that. Amen. Now, when we talk about friendship, sometimes we have different emotion. Some of us, we are very blessed, we're very thankful. The truth is, in life, maybe, in terms of a close, true, genuine friends, maybe in life, with five fingers you can count. Maybe less. Sometimes when we talk about friendship, sometimes we think about some negative emotions because of some of the not-so-good experience that we have so far. But today, we're going to see from the Word of God, from the encouragement of God, what does it mean to have genuine friends? You ready for that? That's good. So, why do we crave relationships? Humans, we are created in the image of God. We are created in the image of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And the fact that we crave relationship, the fact that we crave friendship is because we are made in the image of God. We desire people to love, and we desire to be loved. And we talk about friendship, we talk about something that is pure, something that is platonic. And the Lord wants us to enjoy friendship as designed by Him. So what are the three qualities of genuine friendship? Now, before we do that, I want to read in 1 Samuel chapter 18. We dealt with these verses last week, but today I want to dive into it a little bit more. Shall we read it together? Yeah? If I can get you to stand up again, fantastic, that'll be really good. We're going to proclaim the word of God together at a count of three. One, two, three. After David had finished talking with Saul, Jonathan became one spirit with David, and he loved him as himself. From that day, Saul kept David with him and did not let him return home to his family. And Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as himself. Lord, as we open up your word, as we expound and explain your word, we pray for the Spirit of the living God to come, because you are the Spirit of truth. Reveal to us the heart of God. Reveal to us the teaching of Jesus Christ, so that we may align our hearts, we may align our lives, and align our thoughts with the teaching of Christ. Father, we love you. We invite your Spirit to come and speak to us and teach us. May I decrease and may you increase. May you minister to every single one of us, from the youngest to the oldest. We thank you. We receive your ministry. We receive your teaching. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the people of God say, amen and amen. Please be seated in the presence of the living God. So in this scripture, we learn about the friendship of David and Jonathan. The context behind this is that David just fought Goliath. And from there, Jonathan developed a friendship with David. Now, understand that Jonathan is actually a lot older than David. Now, how do we know that? Because in 1 Samuel 14, it's recorded that Jonathan defeated the Philistines in a Michmash battle. He was already a warrior. But it's in 1 Samuel 15, is the Lord then rejected Saul, and the Lord said, I will raise up myself a man after God's own heart. How many of you know that when that statement was made in 1 Samuel 15, David wasn't even born yet? Meaning to say that Jonathan is at least 20 years older than David. My dear friends, let me tell you this. It is okay and it is good to be friends with people older than you. And to the not so young people, it is good to develop good and godly relationship with people younger than you. And I'll explain to you a little bit further about this beautiful friendship that's been formed between Jonathan and David. Now, I promised you last week that I will go back to this verse to explain. Now, I am very excited I can share with you today, because from the biblical narrative, this is one of the most detailed narrative that talk about friendship. And from there, we can see insights into the value, the characteristics, and nature of friendship. No wonder why these scriptures has, in my opinion, in the traditional form of interpreting the Bible, has been twisted. So some people, when they read that statement, they are saying that it is actually describing homosexual relationship between Jonathan and David. Hence this question. Was the author of Samuel, remember 1 and 2 Samuel, it was actually one book, yeah? But because it's so large, we divide it into two books. Was the author of Samuel describing a pure and platonic friendship between Jonathan and David, or one of a homosexual relationship? Now, quick lessons when it comes to interpreting the Bible. There are three things you must know. First is context. Context provides... Context provides... That's good. All the young adults and youth, you must be able to remember that it was Alicia that preached the sermon, isn't it? Context provides clarity. First, when we look at the scripture, we must understand the context, the before and after. What is the context in this story? The context of the story was that David has defeated Goliath, Jonathan made a covenant with them, and then from then on, David actually married Michal. In fact, David was so excited to marry Michal, he actually killed how many Philistines? 200. But let's not talk about what he took, yeah? We spoke about that last week. If you're interested, you can go back. Not 100, but 200. David was passionate, was excited. And the context of that is that Jonathan will also have a wife. So we are pretty sure, from a context point of view, it is not describing a homosexual relationship. Now, secondly, when it comes to interpreting the Bible, we must be able to ask this question. Original audience. How would the original audience have understood it? Now, this word loved, if during that time when the scribe, inspired by God, writing this down, when they read it to the people, how would they understand the word loved? Loved as himself. Now, because it's an English translation, it doesn't distinguish what kind of love. When you talk about original audience, it's very important. Meaning to say, when we read the Bible, understand this. When we read the Bible, these are historical documents written during their culture, during their context, with their language. Yeah? So we have to understand, when they read it, what does it mean? You see, when we read it with a 21st century Western culture kind of thing, when we read that statement, that Jonathan loved David as himself, not once, but twice. And after that, Jonathan even took off his robe, his tunic, and gave it to, our imagination start running wild. But that's a 21st century reader. But if the original reader, what would they have understood it to be? Now, the word love here, so I've done a bit of homework. The word love here mainly has to do with different type of love. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5, it says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Same. From the Hebrew word, ahav. In 1 Samuel 16:21, same thing. David came to Saul and entered his service. Saul liked or loved him very much, and David became one of his armor bearer. Again, the word ahav. And you can see majority of time when he's describing using this word, it has to do with non-romantic, non-sexual, platonic kind of love. So even as we look at the original language, we know for certain when the original audience hear it, it's not that. Now thirdly, very important, Scripture has to interpret Scriptures. Yeah, everyone say that. Scripture. So whenever you look at a verse, you need to not only understand the context, not only understand the original audience, and also you must be able to look at other scriptures to interpret it. So you can't be a doctrine on one verse alone. And that's very important. And when you look at other verses describing homosexuality, in both the Old Testament and New Testament, there are 6 verses. All of them are shared not in a positive light. And I'll read this to you. Now, I understand that when I share this, this is not a popular view. I know that we live in Australia in the 21st century. I understand the culture of this time. I understand in certain places, if I were to talk about this, I'll be arrested. But this is what I want to tell us as a church. As a church, we stand for truth. As a church, the opinion of God is more important than the opinion of man. One day, all of us will come before the Lord, including the governors of the land, including the kings of this land, no matter how great, no matter how powerful, no matter whether your last name is C or your last name is Putin, one day, all of us have to appear before the Lord. And I say this in great humility. So it is so important for us to come before the Lord and ask God, what is His opinion? And not what is our opinion. Right now, I'll read to you a couple of the scriptures, both in Genesis, both in Old Testament and in New Testament. Leviticus chapter 18, verse 22. Do not have sexual relationships with a man as one does with a woman. That is detestable to God. Genesis chapter 19, the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. I don't have to elaborate on that. Leviticus 20, verse 13. If a man has sexual relationship if a man has sexual relations with a man as one does with a woman, both of them have done what is detestable. Now we come to the New Testament, Romans chapter 1, verse 26, 27. Because of this, God gave them over to shameful lust. Even their women exchanged natural sexual relations for unnatural ones. In the same way, the men also abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. Men committed shameful acts with other men and received in themselves the due penalty for their error. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 to 10. Do you not know that wrongdoers will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who have sex with men, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9 to 10. We also know that the law is made not for the righteous, but for lawbreakers and rebels, the ungodly and sinful, the unholy and irreligious, for those who kill their fathers or mothers, for murderers, for the sexually immoral, for those practicing homosexuality, for slave traders and liars and perjurers, and for whatever else is contrary to the sound doctrine. The Bible is very clear when it comes to this topic. Hence, when you look at 1 Samuel 20, if the Bible, if other scriptures were to describe a relationship that is homosexual in nature, it will not be shed on a positive light. That's why I am very certain, according to the traditional way of interpreting the scripture, that this part and this portion of scripture is describing a pure, a healthy, a warrior type of friendship between Jonathan and David. And can we get an amen for that? So if you want to ask more about in terms of the Bible and homosexual practice, I've got a really good book. It's in detail. If you want, you can have a look later. But right now, let's keep going on. Yeah, I want to talk about friendship today. So I thought I just want to deal with that part of scripture and I'll talk about friendships. Now, when it comes to context, I thought I'll show you this photo. It's interesting. In 2012, I led a team to Cambodia for a medical mission trip. The Lord knows that I'm going to preach this sermon to talk about context. And I have a badminton group, yeah? Platonic friends. Wonderful. And someone actually sent this photo, yeah? So 2012, I led a team, I know it's a bit small, to Cambodia. So I was with these army officials. And after that, you know what we did? That's what we did. We held hands and we walked. All right, in the Western culture, you'd be like, what is happening there, yeah? But in that culture, it's common. It's common. And I can tell you, I'm as straight as an arrow, all right? Anyway, when you talk about context, I thought I'll just show you that. I don't know. They actually even circled that. Anyway, let's keep going. That's good. All right. Okay. I wrote that down to interpret the relationship between Jonathan and David as being homosexual in nature. One would need to engage in considerable textual gymnastics, yeah? Stretching the scripture beyond the clear and traditional understanding. So right now, as we dive into 1 Samuel 20, we understand that David has defeated Goliath. Saul tried to kill David multiple times. He even manipulated his own children to do that. And then we enter into 1 Samuel 20. We can talk about three qualities of friendship. And the first quality of friendship, a genuine friendship, is that it's got to be real. It's got to be authentic. Hence, in the beginning of verse 1, in chapter 20 itself, David fled from Naioth in Ramah and came and sat before Jonathan. Now, we understand that David was trying to run away from Saul. He ran to see Samuel in Ramah. I wonder what the conversation would be like. You'll be a bit like, Samuel, why did you send me to Saul? Guess what? He's trying to kill me not once, not twice. He even trying to get the Philistines to kill me. He trying to get his own children to kill me. And then from there, he went to see Jonathan. Remember, David is still a young man. Though he killed Goliath, he's still a very young man. He went to see Jonathan and he said, Jonathan, what have I done? I thought we had a covenant thing happening. You made a covenant. What have I done? What is my guilt? And what is my sin before your father that he seeks my life? I'm dying here. You see, David The relationship between Jonathan and David is one that is built on honesty. He has no problem to open up and to be authentic about their relationship. And he kept on saying, and then he told, you know what he told Jonathan? He said that you don't know that your own father wants to kill me. Because Jonathan initially, he denied. He said, that is not true. If my father were to do anything, he would first tell me, don't worry, David. I'm going to look after you. Now, David is pretty smart. Because you remember what happened. In the previous chapter, same thing. Because Jonathan confronted his dad, remember? And what did his dad say? Surely, I swear, I will not harm David. The very next verse, he tries to throw a spear. Yeah. So David was like, Jonathan, I trust you, but do you remember what happened? So here, David said it again. He said, now, the reason why I'm telling you this is because your father is really smart. He knows that we are now good friends. Yeah, we made a covenant. Hence, if he were to harm me, he's not even going to tell you. And that's the situation, and that is the problem. So David started sharing his heart to him. Do you know that between friends, it is important that we are open and honest to one another? A true friend will tell you what you need to hear, not what you want to hear. I'll say that one more time. A true friend will tell you what you need to hear, not what you want to hear. Oh, very often, we only want to hear what we want to hear. Very often, when we hear what we need to hear, we will start to repel. And that happens very often in a family. When parents tell children what they need to hear, they often do not want to hear. When you tell them what they want to hear, they be like, oh, I'm so loved. My mom loves me so much. Do your dishes, pack your bag, clean your room. But it has to be both ways. Some people only like to tell people what they need to hear. But if you tell them back, they're like, what are you talking about? They will take offense. So true friend will always tell you what you need to hear from the heart. Speak the truth in love. And then from then, this is what David then said. Therefore, deal kindly with your servant, for you have brought your servant into a covenant of the Lord with you. David, as a young man, he may be young, but he is not stupid. Very smart. He reminded Jonathan, remember you are older than me? You remember you make a covenant with me? And the truth is, even if I want to die, I want to die in your hand. Wow, David is really, really smart. You know, he's working Jonathan. And here we see, as David poured his life, he was fearful of his life. He has no one to turn to except Jonathan. Now remember, who is Jonathan during this time? Jonathan is the eldest son of Saul. Jonathan is the crown prince of Israel. Jonathan is also a mighty warrior. He's a man of God. In 1 Samuel 14, we learn that he fought the battle in Michmash. Because of his faith in God, he defeated the Philistines. And this young David come before Jonathan, beg for his life. He said, Jonathan, would you help me? Now, what would Jonathan say? I wonder. The second thing about friendship is that there must be loyalty. Jonathan then replied, far be it from me that if I knew that it was determined by my father that harm should come to you, would I not tell you? In fact, if you read it like a movie, I would say Jonathan was a bit offended that time. He was a bit offended that David came so strongly to him. He was offended because David kind of doubt their relationship. This warrior, pure relationship. You're like, what are you talking about? Far be it from me. Do you think I'm those kind of guy? You think I'm those kind of guy, they will let my friend die? But instead, he says, but it should it please my father to do you harm? Then the Lord do so to Jonathan and more also if I do not disclose it to you and send you away. He said that if I do not tell you, my father is about to harm you. May the harm that comes upon you be upon me too. What a loyal friend it is. He's committed to the well-being of David. He is unafraid. He's willing to go all the way in order to help David. What a beautiful friendship that we see this. As crown prince of Israel, when he gives that commitment to David, he's also risk offending his own father, who has a habit of spear throwing. Quite dangerous. And then they came out with this plot. And it says that if I'm still alive, show me the steadfast love of the Lord, that I may not die. Do not cut off your steadfast love from my house forever when the Lord cuts off every one of the enemies of David from the face of the earth. And then Jonathan made a covenant with the house of David, saying, may the Lord take vengeance on David's enemies. And Jonathan made David swear again by his love for him, for he loved him as he loved his own soul. Something very interesting happened here. If you read carefully, in verse 1, young David was fearful of his life. Is that right? That's why he came to Jonathan. And this is an interesting part. Young David is fearful for his own life, but Jonathan can see what David cannot see himself. I'll say it one more time. Jonathan is able to see what David cannot see for himself. David is fearful for his own life in the present, but Jonathan knew in his heart who David is going to be. That's the reason why it was Jonathan that said, you know what, David, I'm going to make a covenant, not just with you, but with the house of David. Meaning to say, next time, when you become a king, now remember, Jonathan had faith in David. He could see the potential of David. David was fearful for his life. The last thing he was thinking about is being a king. He just wanted his life. But Jonathan said, no. You made a covenant with me. You look after my offspring. True enough, if you're going to read 2 Samuel, Jonathan had a son who has a limp by the name of Mephibosheth. And then David looked after him. And this is what true friend is like. A true friend can see your potential even when you are at your worst. A true friend can see your potential even when you are at your worst. Never judge a person in their worst time. We all have our bad moments. We all will fall. It's not if we fall, it's when we fall. Oh, but by the grace of God, the Lord Jesus will invite us. The Lord Jesus will ask us. The Lord Jesus will surround us with his people, will lift us up. A loyal friend like David is hard to find, but when you find a loyal friend like this, hold dearly. Hold dearly. And when Jonathan starts speaking to David, Jonathan is speaking his future. He's reminding David, David, not only you're not going to die, one day you're going to be the king of Israel. He reminded him of the promises of God that is upon his life. My dear friends, I do not know what you're going through today. I do not know where you are today. But one thing I want to encourage you. When the Lord gives you a promise, the Lord will deliver his promise. Because our God is a promise keeper. The Lord our God, he is a faithful God. He is a good God. The one who saves us will also keep us. Amen. Our God is a faithful God. And as we continue to see, as we continue to develop, the third quality that we see of a genuine friendship is sacrifice. Now, so they have a problem. They need to develop a plot to fix the problem. So what is the plot? So when Jonathan talked to David, they started discussing. They say that because David was telling Jonathan, your father will not kill me. Jonathan is saying that is not true. If he wants to kill you, he let me know. David said, I tell you what, let's come out a plan. The plan is every month they have this new moon festival whereby they'll sit and they'll eat together. So, and David is on the table. So David told Jonathan, I tell you what, this time around, I'm not gonna come here. Because remember, the last time I met your dad, he's trying to kill me, all right? So I'm not going back anymore. So this time around, when you have a meal together, tell your dad that I'm away on a family business. I'm back to Bethlehem. I have an urgent business to take care of. My whole tribe, my whole clan is involved. We're going to do something. And if your dad is not angry, the key word being angry, then we know that I'm safe. But if he is angry, please let me know. The question then is, how does Jonathan let him know? So they have this plan. The plan is David will hide in a field next to this stone called the Stone of Israel. And if Saul is angry, David will shoot arrow. And he'll ask a young boy to go pick up the arrow. And if the arrow shoot past the boy, that is to say he's in danger. But if it doesn't shoot past the boy, shoot next to David, it means he is safe. So that is their coded message. This is of a national security importance. There's an espionage thing happening, you know? Very exciting. The plot is developing. So the day comes. New Moon Festival. They sat together. First day, Saul was normal. Eating. He noticed that David is not there. By thinking that, maybe that guy. In fact, he doesn't even call him David. He called him son of Jesse. He couldn't even bring his name to his own mouth. That son of Jesse, maybe he's unclean. Second day came. He's not there. So he started asking questions. Where is that son of Jesse? Where is he? Saul asked. Jonathan then answered, just as they planned. Please forgive your servant David. He is a busy man. He had a family errand to run. He's gone back to Bethlehem. And what happened is this. Jonathan is not a very good liar. Okay? He actually used this word. Let me go. So he said, let me go, for our clan holds a sacrifice in the city, and my brother has commanded me to be there. So now, if I found favor in your eyes, let me get away. So this is what Jonathan's say. And this word, let me get away, simply, it actually means let him escape. So he's not very good in lying. All right? So in his own word, to his own dad, he said, let David escape. Now Saul, what did Saul do? Was Saul calm? Anyone read 1 Samuel 20? Was he peaceable? Was he saying that, that's fine, that's cool, you know what, let David enjoy himself, he killed Goliath. You know, I did try to kill him 3 times. You know, this young man needs a break, you know? What did he do? No. Saul's anger was kindled. I mean, it was rage. He was enraged. He was so angry. He called you son of a perverse, rebellious woman. He was half right. He's actually the son of a perverse, rebellious man, referring to himself. But of course, he's not going to say that to himself. So he said, woman, don't you know that you are at risk here? Don't you know what you are doing? And then that is the time, for the very first time, Saul said what he said. In verse 31, for as long as the son of Jesse lives on the earth. You see, he doesn't even call David. As long as the son of Jesse lives on the earth, neither you nor your kingdom shall be established. Therefore, send and bring him to me, for he shall surely die. Here immediately Saul, in his heart, for the very first time, he blurted out the reason why he wanted to kill David. Not just because some women were singing the song, Saul killed thousands, David killed 10,000. Yeah, there's a bit of jealousy there. So it's not just a bit of fear and insecurity because everywhere David went, he was successful. Every military campaign that he led, he is successful. And Saul was a bit red eye, you know? It's like a bit jealous. It's more than that. Because Saul immediately identified David as a threat to his kingdom. But this is the problem here. It was never Saul's kingdom to begin with. It's always the Lord's kingdom. Never fight for position. Never fight for position. The Lord will establish you. The Lord will direct your path, just as the Lord has directed the path of David. And here, the sacrifice. Then Jonathan answered Saul, his father. Same thing. You see the language? Very similar to David. Why would he be put to death? What has he done? Chapter 20, verse 1, what did David tell Jonathan? What have I done? What has he done to deserve such punishment? Now Saul again, this guy is mad. The question I have is, why does he have a spear with him all the time, you know? So what did he do? He hurled his spear at his own son to strike him. He's gone nuts, he's gone crazy. Last week we talked about a life without God, this is a downward spiral. Crazy power. Even his own family, he manipulated his own daughter, Michal. Now he wants to kill his own son, Jonathan. He threw a spear at him to strike him. And Jonathan knew that the father has really gone crazy. Absolutely crazy. And that is when he started sending signal to David. A true friend sacrifices their comfort for your peace. You know, true friendship and any good and healthy relationship, no more close, yeah, will often require sacrifice. In a marriage, there's going to be a lot of sacrifices. In parenting, parents would know more than children. Remember when I was young, my mom would say, Ken, when you grow up, when you become a father, you will understand how I feel. Every time when my mom tells me that, I'm like, I'll be a better parent. Very arrogant, you know? Kenny, when he was young, very arrogant. Now that I've grown a bit older, everything that my mom said, it is true. So children, listen to your parents, yeah? Amen? Yeah, nod your head, yeah? You're most welcome. Listen to your parents. Any good, genuine, true relationship often requires sacrifice. And sometimes it will cause inconvenience, but it's during those times, true friend will always show up. I remember I had this friend, I will not tell the name of this friend. I was going through a difficult time. I went back to Malaysia. This friend will ride a motorbike, all right, from Singapore, right all the way up to KL. On his shorts, I don't know why he does that actually. So dangerous, just to come to see me, to encourage me. A friend will always show up. Amen. A true friend will always show up. What are the sacrifices that Jonathan has given? Number one, his future as a king of Israel. The truth is, if he is a selfish man, he would have seen David as a threat as well. Exactly as how Saul. You see, there's a difference between we're operating in the flesh and operating in the spirit. When you operate in the flesh, you always think about you, yourself. Me, myself, and I, the unholy trinity. When you operate in the spirit, you first think about what God thinks. You put others first. He certainly sacrificed his relationship with his dad. But that is not to say he's not a loyal son. My dear friends, he remained a loyal son until his dying breath. If you read all the way. In this matter, he disagreed with his dad, but he remains a loyal son, a good son. And last but not least, of course, he put his life on the line for David. What a beautiful, beautiful picture of one who sacrifices. And in closing, as we read through the chapters, Jonathan through the coded message of the arrow, told David that his life is in danger. That is perhaps one of the last times they meet together. They'll meet together one more time, but this is one of the last times. And I'll read to you. So as soon as the boy had gone, David rose from beside the stone heap, fell on his face to the ground, and bowed three times. Now remember, young David is bowing down to the crown prince of Israel, number one. And number two is the gratitude. Because the truth is, Jonathan doesn't have to help David. In fact, it is to Jonathan's benefit if the threat is being eliminated. So he bowed before him three times to thank him, to honor him. They kissed one another. They wept. And David weeping the most. What a touching moment. What a touching scene. Because they knew that that is probably one of the last times they're going to see each other. Because from then on, they'll go their separate ways. Then Jonathan said to David, "Go in peace, because we have sworn both of us in the name of the Lord, saying, 'The Lord shall be between me and you, and between my offspring and your offspring forever.'" And he rose and departed, and Jonathan went into the city. He says, "The Lord shall be between me and you." Any good and godly and healthy relationship, Jesus is always at the center. I'm going to say that one more time. Any good, godly, healthy relationship, Jesus is always at the center. It's no longer just about man's opinion. It's no longer just about what I feel. But it's about, "Lord, what do you think in this matter? How do you feel in this matter? What is your mind? What is your agenda? What is your will in this matter?" And then we align our heart. We align our emotion. We align our will with the will of God. Amen. Now, as we listen to this sermon, sometimes we ask, it's so good to have a Jonathan in life, isn't it? But the question, the challenging question is this: are you willing to be a Jonathan to your friend? We all want to be David, but are we willing to be a Jonathan? And that's a good news I'm going to share with all of us. We do have a Jonathan in our lives. All of us. Because Jesus is the one genuine friend. He's authentic to us. Jesus will always speak truth in love. Jesus is not afraid to confront us with truth. Why? Because he knows that he's good for us. When you're down and out, Jesus will lift you up. The grace of God is sufficient. The mercy is new every morning. The Lord is with you. Jesus is also loyal. That he will go all the way for you. Jesus said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid, for I have overcome the world." Jesus is saying to you, "I got your back. Don't worry." Last but not least, we talk about the sacrifice of Jesus. He has walked on this earth. He suffered for us. He died for us. And then he lived again. There is no suffering greater than what Christ has done for us. Hence, Jesus says, "My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friend." So as we come to a close, I want to share this verse with you. And this is what Jesus says: "You are my friend if you do what I command." We all have a friend. One genuine, true friend. Today you may be seated here and say, "Kenny, I wish I have a Jonathan in my life." But the truth is, you do. Sometimes even your closest friend, someone who loves you dearly, can never understand what you're going through. That is the truth. Because there are certain gaps in your life can only be filled by the Lord himself. Do not have such a high expectation on your spouse, on your husband, on your wife, or your close friends. That gap that you have, only Jesus can fill. Jesus truly is our closest friend. And it's in your walking with Jesus, as you give your life to Jesus, As you be the friend of Jesus, that is when you find satisfaction and fulfillment and purpose in life. And today, Jesus is inviting us, encouraging us to be his friend, just as he has been our friend to us. Amen. Let us close our eyes as we invite the Lord to help us think through what we have learned today on the topic of friendship. Perhaps we can start evaluating. We ask the Spirit of God to start checking our hearts, start evaluating our hearts. Have I been a Jonathan to someone? Am I willing to take a bit of risk to speak truth in love? Am I willing to be there with my friends? Am I willing to sacrifice my own comfort in order to minister to my friend? Perhaps some of us here today, when we talk about the topic of friendship, somewhere in your heart, you feel a bit of hurt, maybe because of you've been betrayed. Perhaps there'd be a breach of trust. But whatever that it is, as we come before the Lord, we're going to ask God to heal us and minister to us. Hallelujah. God is here. Open your heart to him. Let the Lord minister to your heart. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.